Studios, and you're listening to Health in 30 on WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland and streaming live at WRCR.com. I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Health in 30's website is up and running, so check it out at healthin30.com. That's healthin30.com. You can listen to audio, sign up for free newsletters, get all the information from all of the shows, and more. Don't forget to check it out. Go to healthin30.com. If you have any comments or questions, email us. Gone are the days of harmless teasing on the school playground. Words have become a powerful weapon, and bullies have escalated to an alarming problem in the United States. According to the latest statistics from the Centers for Disease Control, it's estimated that 30% of 6th to 10th graders in the United States are involved in bullying, either as victims or bullies themselves. The devastating effects of bullying are severe and can range from loneliness, depression, to thoughts of suicide. Today on Health in 30, we'll talk about bullying, what can be done to try to prevent it, and we'll give you tips to help you safeguard your children from bullies. Joining us now is Cheryl Harmer, a former United States Principal of the Year and from the Committee for Children. Welcome, Cheryl. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Cheryl, this topic is so heart-wrenching. There's so much research out there, so many stories from parents and kids of what they have gone through. So many stories where they describe the incidences of the bullies. And just in talking to parents themselves, it affects not only the kids but the parents. One mom said to me that she felt so sick to her stomach every day that she couldn't sleep, she couldn't eat. She was getting so sick over this whole incident of the bullying that's occurring in all schools throughout the nation. And I mean, education and prevention obviously are key right now until bullying stops, if it ever will.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it's really a pertinent topic for us to be talking about today. I think that it's a topic that's certainly on everyone's mind from time to time as incidents come up. But if you're a parent and it's happening to your child, it's on your mind every day. So I appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation.
Sure. Just a quick statistic. The Justice Department is estimating that 1 in 4 children every day is bullied. I mean, that's a high number. For the listeners, just describe what is bullying first.
Well, bullying actually is involving a power imbalance. It's sort of the core of it. It's an opportunity that children who bully others realize that in either internally or sort of cognitively, they understand that they have power over other children. And so it's unfair, it's usually a repeated nature, but it has to do with one child or another individual using their power inappropriately to control or to harm intentionally another child.
And who are the bullies? Are they one specific group of kids, or what's their profile, if you will?
You know, there really isn't an exact profile. There's been a discussion oftentimes about children who bully as being children who have lower self-esteem. Sometimes that is the case. Other times, these are children who are very skilled socially. So there isn't necessarily a psychological profile or a profile that fits all children who are in bullying kinds of behaviors. Generally, though, these children are children who perhaps have been rewarded in some ways for these bullying behaviors or feel like they don't have control in some other areas of their lives. And so when they do have an opportunity to control other children, to use their power inappropriately, they take that on.
For the listeners, if anyone's interested in calling for any questions or comments, you could call in at 845-624-1300. There are different types of bullying, physical, verbal abuse, and cyberbullying. What is that, and can you explain that to the listeners?
Well, you're absolutely correct. There are many forms of bullying, and I think that's one of the things that as we begin to talk more and more as a society around bullying, it has grown in our understanding that it's not just about physical bullying, that there's indirect bullying, which, you know, includes rumors and spreading gossip, really being harmful behind people's backs. That's sort of an indirect form of it. So cyberbullying is a form of indirect bullying oftentimes. Sometimes it can be direct through a source directly targeted at the victim themselves. But it's a form of harassment where it's intimidation. There is certainly happens oftentimes that there are rumors spread over the Internet. And as you know, that can just fly out of control so quickly. There are intimidation sorts of messages given to a child that can come in anonymously, so a child really doesn't even know where They feel so off guard because they don't even know where that source is coming from. So it's really a very new form of bullying that's extremely destructive, because it particularly is very difficult to combat. It's difficult to find the source, and it's difficult to stop it once it's kind of set free on an internet kind of a situation.
Now, how are they supposed to know that that's occurring? I mean, most times kids are by the computer. I mean, sometimes they're in their room, which probably is not a good idea. But if they are on their own with their computer and this is occurring back and forth, how are parents going to know that it's going on?
Well, I think it really comes down to developing a relationship with your child over time. And parents who are engaged with their children, who have an ongoing sort of respectful communication with them, who have regular conversations about things that are going on in their children's lives, are going to be probably in a better place to detect when their child is being traumatized by some of these other things. Certainly monitoring when their child is involved with the internet and spending time on the web, I think it's very important to be aware of what your child is doing for all sorts of reasons, actually. Really making sure that the time that they spend with their friends is, you get to know their friends, that they have a strong network of friends, so that if they're feeling withdrawn or overwhelmed, you can begin to sort of probe and have conversations around what is happening. I think there's lots of things that parents can do, but I think the foundation is to have an ongoing, open communication relationship with your child, and to encourage them to share when they begin to experience situations that they feel like they can't control.
Now, what are the signs that a child is being bullied? What can a parent look for in their child that they may think to themselves something's not right with their child?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of ways to answer that. First of all, the symptoms can be many forms, but whenever you see a child change in their behavior, if they become more withdrawn, or if your child begins to not want to engage in activities that they've previously wanted to be a part of, if they seem to be pulling within themselves in a depressed kind of a way, certainly, again, that can be one of the symptoms of a child who is experiencing distress around bullying. Other symptoms, though, are physical symptoms. And I think as a public nurse, one of the reasons I was so pleased to be able to come on your program today is you're highlighting, I think, or have an opportunity we have in this conversation to highlight the physical kinds of implications that a child can experience when they are under stress. And, you know, stress can come from a lot of places, but if you're under stress because you're feeling rejected by the social situation, headaches, stomach aches, feeling that you're unwell, those kinds of chronic symptoms, physical symptoms, can be a real indication to parents that there may be some psychological things going on as well as some physical things.
Now, if a parent at home is listening and they're going through this with their kid, what should they know? What can they do to help them? Should they confront the bully's parents at all? Should they go to the school and talk to the principal? What steps should the parents take?
Well, I think there's many steps, but let's kind of start from the very beginning again. It begins with having a conversation with your child and encouraging your child to be in conversation with you, to report bullying incidents to you. If a child is being bullied or experiencing bullying at home, and they express this to you, you really need to start first by validating their feelings about it. I think children don't report so many times. You know, when you talk about the scope of bullying, the statistics show that that's really probably the tip of the iceberg. Oftentimes children don't report because they think adults aren't going to do anything about it, or that they wouldn't be listened to, or it'll be brushed off. So first and foremost, really listen to your child. You know, and validate their feelings by affirming that they're right to tell you. And really try to get them to be very specific about reporting what they've experienced. Try to help them see if they've tried some alternative ways to confront the bullying situation, try to coach them through that. I think children can be empowered. Children are very resilient, actually, if you can give them a little coaching and help them try to figure this out. So you can kind of look at it as a problem-solving opportunity with your child, too, and teach them some problem-solving skills. So first of all, listen, and then try to figure out what they've already tried, and then help them coach through perhaps some alternative that they might try. Certainly, if the bullying is happening at school, I think it's critical for schools and parents to work together. And oftentimes, schools are blamed because they're, you know, not doing anything about bullying, but the truth of the matter is kids that are engaged in bullying are really pretty good about doing bullying without adults around. So oftentimes the adults in the schools are really not that aware of the extent of the problem, so you need to communicate with your school, and you need to work with your school as an ally. That's really a parent's best venue for making a difference for their child around bullying. There's a lot of things that can take place in a school for support, for creating an environment that bullying can be addressed, that parents can access.
Should the parents of the child who's being bullied, should they ever confront the other child's parents?
No.
Why not? Why don't they do that?
Well, you know, it actually doesn't teach anyone anything. And I think what we try to do at Committee for Children, we are in the business of prevention. We really try to coach children around how to use skills, how to grow in their use of skills. So confrontation oftentimes doesn't accomplish the skill growth that we need. What it does is escalate into a situation that could actually lead to retaliation and revenge. I think the best thing is to engage a support system around your child. And your school is the best opportunity for that. School people can actually teach the skills. What we advocate is actually being intentional about teaching a whole school environment how to confront bullying, how to take a stand against bullying. So that's really your best bet, is to work with a support system rather than trying to confront on your own.
Now, if a child is being bullied, what would the first thing that this child is taught to do? Actually, a lot of parents will teach their kid to fight back, which I know is not the right thing to do in reading all of this research. They're trying to defend themselves so they don't get hurt. But what would be the first thing? Would they walk away? I know actually the American Academy of Pediatrics says look that bully right in the eye and tell him to stop, not to do that.
Well, you're absolutely right. Assertiveness skills are very critical. In fact, in our Steps to Respect program that we actually make available for schools to teach school-wide in the environment, set up a school-wide environment, and also teach children specific skills. Assertiveness skills, that's a very core skill. We also teach friendship skills. So just helping kids how kind of be more socially aware, maybe how to enter a conversation, how to connect with kids in different ways. Foundational friendship skills are real critical and basic to sort of establishing those social networks. It's really interesting that research is clear that if a child has at least one friend, or, you know, even better, a circle of friends that they can rely on, that makes all the difference in the world in their chances of being victimized by someone who is bullying. So assertiveness skills are one thing. Now, assertiveness is different than aggression, and I think that's the other thing that children need to learn. It's actually a skill to learn how to square your shoulders, you know, as you said, look the perpetrator right in the eye and take a stand, not in an aggressive way, but take a stand that this is bullying and I'm not going to put up with it. I think the other piece about it is empowering children with language, letting them know when they can actually name it. I think language is a powerful tool that we can give our children. Parents can do that. Schools can do that. We need to name bullying when it's occurring and allow kids to develop the skills that help them to sort of put it out there, call it, and be aggressive against just their own feelings, but assertive against the bullying as it's occurring.
Okay, so the bully comes after this one kid. The kid looks him straight in the eyes and holds his head up high, shoulders back, and ignores him, and then walks away. What's in your experience, does that bully ever follow that kid, you know, when he's walking away, or will he just sort of...
Well, you know, there isn't a magic answer. Absolutely. Sometimes that happens. If you try to get away, you try to get some help, sometimes that doesn't work. I think you have to, in that kind of a situation, you have to sort of think on your feet and decide if it's safe to try to get away or if you're going to just kind of ignore it in the moment. Certainly, though, the thing that needs to happen right after that, the action that has to happen for children, is we need to teach children to report it. I think too often children have been led to believe that this is just a part of growing up and that they should have to just cope with it, and they really don't have any options to find some support. So reporting the incident, knowing that there is a support system in place so that the next time you've got some resources to turn to, I think it's empowering for a child. So that goes back to creating that whole system.
Sure. The Steps to Respect program, what this Committee for Children organization teaches, can you go through those? And now this is something that is taught through the school systems throughout the United States from...
That's correct, yes. Okay. In fact, our programs are actually in 21 countries around the world. We're in 25,000 schools and serving 7 million kids. So it's one of, if not the most widely distributed program, set of programs in the United States. We have Steps to Respect. There's other programs as well. Second Step is very well known. It's widely distributed, and that's an aggression prevention program. But the Steps to Respect focuses specifically on bullying behaviors. And it really actually is a three-prong approach. Actually, four-prong approach, if you want to look at it that way. It takes a school-wide approach, which means that schools need to set up policies and procedures and to put in place actual reporting systems. There needs to be a framework in place so that when they teach children skills about recognizing bullying and reporting bullying and responding to bullying, and then children follow through on that, there actually is a system in place that will support that. So first and foremost, there needs to be this school-wide environment. And that entails training the adults. Again, the language is powerful. I think it's important to help adults in the school recognize bullying and to be able to recognize when it's happening even, you know, outside their eye shot so that they can actually be aware of what's happening throughout the building. And when we're talking about adults, I think it's important to know that we're not talking just about teachers. We're talking about custodians, bus drivers, lunchroom supervisors, you know, office personnel, playground personnel. Oftentimes, those are the adults that truly are in the situation where the position where they can see bullying as it happens with kids. And so when you're really looking at a school-wide system, you need to start with that, everybody. Then the second tier is involving skill development for children. And as I've alluded to, the Steps to Respect program teaches a constellation of skills that have actually been proven to make a difference for children. Friendship skills, assertiveness skills, problem-solving skills. And a key that I'd like to talk about for just a little bit is the whole idea of involving bystanders. What we have found in research is that the most critical and accessible and easily leveraged resource that we have is in schools and actually I think as a society is people who witness bullying. The child or the individual who's being bullied is really oftentimes not in a position to defend themselves. They are, you know, by nature being victimized. The bystanders are the ones who are truly in the power seat to do something about it. 80% of all bullying incidents are witnessed by others. And if we can teach the bystanders to stand up against bullying, to respond to bullying in an assertive way, to let the bullying person, the child who is bullying, know that that's not okay, not socially acceptable, to not reward that person by, treating it like they are the ones who are in power. They need to take the power away. The bystanders need to take the power away from the child who's bullying. They are the most powerful influence.
Is this taught during the school time, or is this an after school, or how does it fit into the curriculum of the school?
It's taught as a component of the school day. There are also literature lessons that allow the teachers in the schools to actually integrate the skill lessons into the academic content of the school day. So it's very much integrated into a regular school day. One note about that is that schools are finding more and more that we don't, in our focus on academic achievement, we don't achieve those academic outcomes unless children feel safe in school, unless they feel like they can take risks, that they can truly find their own strengths and be their own persons. And so the time spent on creating an environment that children can learn in is time well spent, and it pays off in academic achievement as well as just a healthy learning environment all around.
For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Health in 30 on WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland and streaming live online at WRCR.com. I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Joining us today is Cheryl Harmer from the Committee for Children. We're talking about how bullying has become a major problem in the U.S. and we'll give you tips to help safeguard your child. Call in with any questions, 845-624-1300. Cheryl, what are some of the psychological effects of bullying?
You know, the psychological effects of bullying are actually threefold, and I want to talk about those. There are effects on the child who is bullied, and these are oftentimes emotional and academic difficulties, lower self-esteem, depression, loneliness, anxiety, feelings of insecurity. There's just chances of certainly a negative image towards school. I think there's a very alarming statistic that 160,000 children, it is estimated, a day miss school because of bullying that's occurring for them. And so,
what was that? 160,000?
160,000 students
wow.
a year. They estimate has been estimated miss school because of bullying. So it has a huge effect just on child's participation and their negative image or their negative thoughts towards school. There is negative judgment about peers. And oftentimes what happens for the child who is bullied, it sets up a negative cycle of social insecurity that can last a lifetime. So there are profound effects for a child who is bullied. The other two areas that are not talked about nearly as much are the effects on the child who bullies. There are profound effects on the children who actually bully others. There are statistics that show that by age 24, I think it is 60% of bullies have been convicted of a crime. So the whole idea of a child who is actually bullying others, there are serious effects for them throughout their lifetime. And the other group, again, that we don't really talk about much but is so critical is the effect on the bystanders. Bystanders themselves have some harmful consequences that they experience. They really experience conflicting feelings. You know, all of us, I think, can think back of times when we've seen, perhaps as a child, another child being bullied, and it makes you feel so conflicted yourself. You feel like you would like to have done something about it, but you didn't do something about it, perhaps, or you didn't know what to do about it. So those feelings of confliction, confusion, sort of just a fear of becoming the next target, it sets up a fear cycle in the child even as they're a bystander. So it's very unhealthy for all the children who are in the middle of this.
Cheryl, do you think the media has a major part in bullying, or is this something that has always gone on and we're just starting to recognize it now? I mean, back then there was always that harmless teasing on the playground. I know everything has escalated now. Do you think we're more aware of it, or do you think the media has a part to play? What's your feeling on that?
Well, I think we are more aware of it. I think that research is showing more that the actual harmful effects of bullying, but I think it's always been there. I believe that, thank goodness, I think that public opinion has changed a little bit in terms of it doesn't have to be just a part of growing up anymore. And that was oftentimes, I think, a few years back, that was sort of the attitude. I think there are multiple tiers that we need to look at, Barbara, to be frank with you. I think we need to look at the whole system. I think we need to look at that this is as a problem of society. It can't be accepted as a part of growing up, and we've got to watch how it's modeled in adult behavior. I think in all the things that we do, children are watching us, and as adults, oftentimes adults engage in bullying behavior that's really inappropriate. Certain media, you know, portraying bullies as in a glorified way, I think that certainly gives messages to children that aren't healthy messages. Families can really play an important part. How are they modeling the use of power, and how are they allowing the child to find their own voice and to be empowered within their own family dynamic? Are they giving this child, you know, a strong sense of themselves, and so they don't have to be sort of controlling other children?
Now, are there programs geared towards the preschooler and the kindergartner?
You know, the Steps to Respect program actually is third grade through sixth grade. Then preschool, kindergarten, first, second, and third grade, we have another program called Second Step. And that program actually is a wonderful foundational program that teaches children foundational social skills that it's really a wonderful setup. Teaches children empathy and impulse control, social problem solving, and it's a wonderful foundational set of social skills so that children are ready when they get into third grade and beyond to actually begin to learn those specific skills, and that's that are related to bullying. I think that's when we see more bullying starting to show up in third grade and beyond. So that's a perfect time to start really teaching children specific skills. So we have sort of the entire continuum of programs right. available.
Does that touch upon then the simple manners of please, thank you, holding the door for the person behind you? Is that all incorporated into it?
Not really. I mean, those are kind of social skills that we hope that children learn in through their family and through other kinds of venues. Certainly we teach respectful behavior. And, you know, oftentimes respectful behavior does translate into manners. But I don't think we would really characterize it as that. I think respectful behavior really is being able to have empathy for another person, to be able to see a situation from another person's perspective and point of view, to be able to put yourself in their shoes, and then to be able to respectfully understand that there may be differences in opinion, and to be, you know, clear about where you stand on things, and to be able to socially and collaboratively problem solve around perhaps a conflict. One could say those are manners, but I think it's much deeper than that. It's just being sort of a respectful perspective on each other and on your own self-efficacy.
Okay, if you could just sum up quickly with a few tips for parents that are listening out there, what's the best way to help safeguard their child?
I think you need to listen to your child. You need to make sure that you're in close communication on a daily basis. You know what's going on in your child's life, that you encourage your child to have healthy relationships with other children. Help them find ways to develop that circle of friendship. That's a powerful, powerful tool for children. Listen to them. Affirm them. Don't dismiss it. If they come to you, work with the school. Realize that the schools are your ally, and you know that the people in schools are your allies, and that there are things that can be done system-wide. The good news on this, Barbara, is we really do know from research that we can make a big difference for children who are bullying others and who are being bullied. I think that it's wonderful that we're talking about it because it has huge implications, I think, across our society, both for mental health, physical health, and, you know, lifelong success. But there's lots we can do about it if we're very proactive and intentional about our activities. And look at it from a prevention perspective. I think
right.
to approach it from prevention is the way to go.
I just want to quickly give out your website, C as in Carol, fchildren.org. And I mentioned the American Academy of Pediatrics as well. I want to give that out too. It's aap.org. Cheryl, thank you so very much. School alone can be difficult for some kids with the mountains of homework, the juggling of after-school activities, fluctuating hormones, and just trying to find out who they are. It's hard enough. Add bullying to that, and it could be devastating. Each and every child has the right to learn in an environment that is free of fear. They should feel safe and secure. There are many reasons that kids are bullies, but if kids are taught at a very young age about respect and feelings of others, not just taught, but constantly shown by example, day after day, maybe, just maybe, the numbers of bullies will be less. But until bullies stop, prevention is vital, and all schools should be on board with the prevention programs. Children, hold your head up high. You deserve to feel safe, and no one has the right to hurt you. Parents, always talk to your kids. And that wraps it up for today. Don't forget to check out the website at healthin30.com. It has all the health and medical information you need to know. Don't forget, Health in 30 wants to hear from you. Go to healthin30.com. Email us any health topic you want to know more about, and we'll address it on future shows. Remember to go to the website and sign up for free newsletters. If any business is interested in advertising or sponsoring Health in 30, go to contact us at healthin30.com. Your business will be heard by thousands of listeners. Thanks for listening. I'm Barbara Ficarra, and I would like to thank Cheryl once again for joining us.
Thank you so much,
Barbara. For more information on the Committee for Children, go to cfchildren.org and check out the American Academy of Pediatrics website, aap.org. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. And joining us next week is Dr. Fred Pescatore, an expert in nutritional medicine. You may have seen Dr. Pescatore on The View, The Today Show, Extra, or The O'Reilly Factor. Now you'll be able to hear him on Health in 30. With ragweed season here and millions of Americans suffering from allergies, we'll talk with Dr. Pescatore about an integrative approach to allergies and asthma. And we'll talk about his best-selling book, The Allergy and Asthma Cure. Have a great week.
AM 1300. WRCR, Spring Valley.
USA Radio Network News, Dennis Martin reporting. New York State Police believe they have fugitive Ralph Bucky Phillips cornered in a wooded area along the New York-Pennsylvania state line. A police spokesman says a trooper fired a shot at Phillips when Phillips pointed a gun at the trooper, so he may be wounded.
I'm sure he had some kind of plan in mind, but this definitely interrupted that.
Phillips is a prison escapee wanted for shooting at least three state troopers, killing one. Space Shuttle Atlantis didn't get off the ground today as NASA continues to work on a fuel sensor problem. Program manager Wayne Hale says they'll have another chance tomorrow.
If we don't launch tomorrow, we'll be back here at best at the end of September, and we have some discussions to go through on the daylight launch requirement, or at the end of October.
Tomorrow's launch is set for 11:15 a.m. Eastern Time. Forecasters say there's an 80% chance of good weather. President Bush will visit New York, Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the Pentagon on the fifth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. We'll also address the nation at 9